The team at Violent Gentlemen saw what I could do at their weekly skate and decided it was time to make our relationship official. Proud to announce the newest sponsor of the Eat 'Em Up podcast, Orange County's finest Violent Gentlemen Hockey Club.
What up, Orange Country? Welcome to Eat 'Em Up. We have a lot to get to today. 2025 Golden State rookie face-off recap, Pacific Division preview, and so much more. So thanks for tuning in. Let's get right to it. 2025 Golden State rookie face-off over this past weekend. Great Park Ice, where the place was absolutely packed for the six total games between the three Cali teams. We know which one out of those three we support and we rock here in Orange Country. It's the good guys. It's the Anaheim Ducks. Let's get right to it. Ducks versus Sharks. It was a Friday night tilt. And look, the Sharks came out and score for a shift after a great individual in tight effort from Seneca. He had a great in tight chance there before the Sharks tallied not too long after that. And that's what's got to excite you as an Anaheim Ducks fan. You just see these moments from Seneca where, and we'll get to it later, he has a great interview and the reporter asks, kind of shot out of a cannon there early on in that LA Kings game. But it was the same here in the San Jose Sharks game where first shift, ready to go, creates an in-tight chance and just a lot to look forward to with Seneca. And I'll talk a little bit more about him here in a little bit. But the opposition, the ops, the Sharks, they come out and score first. So it was a tough break because that's just a momentum killer right off the hop. Those ones are tough pills to swallow, and it's up to any team in that particular situation to brush it off quick. And they did. And for a lot of this first period, Ducks were the better squad. And it was choppy hockey with the little sustained ozone time from either squad for the next little bit. Cedarov, 6 minutes in, had an outstanding between the legs right into a delay off entry. He curls and rips it at the net. I hope Cedarov gets a long, hard look and a fair look because you know what? He's got that motor. He's got that motor. He's got that relentlessness. And I love watching him play. He's so skilled and he goes. And that combination is a recipe for success. And it seems that maybe even sooner than a lot of us had originally anticipated. But he's getting it done early on here in the San Jose game. He's a guy that it's nonstop skill. He tried the Michigan late in the Kings game. It was foiled by them, but look, it was fun to watch just an attempt at just a show-stopping goal in moment. So he continues to get it done by eye test. He's humming and he's making plays. Look, the very next shift, he's out there. He pulls a double cut back in the corner. He goes low to high with it. The puck goes D to D, and guess who? It's Solberg, who takes all the ice given to him. That's what he does. Every time Solberg's at the offensive zone blue line, if he's got 10 feet of gap, he's going to take all 10 feet. If he's got 15, he's going to take all 15 feet of gap. And that's just how confident he is. That's just how powerful of a skater and those first three strides out of the pocket are. And he's rangy. And I love the relentlessness on those first three strides, four or five. He's taking 15 feet, whatever, because that leads into the ranginess, the long strides into the long shot there with the release. And that's how he gets so much velocity on the shot. But it's just good to see him do that every opportunity he gets. And to be able to attack that open ice continuously and get quality looks right down Main Street, it's something Ducks fans need to be looking forward to. I certainly am. The first goal for the Ducks came from Alexi Mathieu Tuck. A great kick out on the entry, far side, and then Mathieu just rips it quick. It's an entry kick out. Okay, far side, right to a streaking down Mathieu. He just rips a quick shot. Great net front presence. I mean, that's the mentality this season. Not just one guy, but two guys. Getting to the net, allowing the opposition's goalie to see absolutely nothing. And that's what happened there. So it was just a great play. Simple, effective. Kick it out. Drive the middle. Push the D back. Everything opens up top. It did. The driver, good net front presence, stopping at the net. That's what we do here in Orange Country. You know that. You know that. That's just the mentality here this upcoming season. San Jose's Havlid, little shimmy. He makes a nasty move on the near side flank on the PP. Snipes it low far side. That was a tough pill to swallow. 2-1 at the end of the first. But once again, the Ducks, it was a toss-up. Never mind the score. It was just a toss-up. I thought the Ducks were slightly the better team, and they still found themselves down at the end of the first, which is the frustrating part. It's official. The Ducks PP looks better already. They're taking all the systems that Coach Q, Jay Woodcroft, and the whole crew. It's obviously Jay Woodcroft. Of course, he was in talks to be a head coach somewhere. Orange Country snagged him. And he's here running our power play. Do me a favor. Check out his Edmonton power play stats. Number one in the league. Historic numbers. Historic streaks. That's what we're getting here in Orange Country. And here, during this past weekend's rookie faceoff, the power play looked much better. The Ducks' top unit with Seneca and Cedarov on both flanks. Scary. Solberg up top, great 1-T attempt by Cedarov, and a nice exchange after that by Seneca and Solberg, and Solberg doing what he does so well, what I said earlier, and that's walking in a few quick steps and rifling it home, ties it up 2-2. Big-time plays by future big-time players already doing big-time things. 2-2, the PP goal for the Sharks making it 3-2 was disgusting. Quentin Musty, he was the goal scorer, and he's nasty. He's good. He's a good player. He was dominant again this year in the rookie faceoff. He was dominant last season. He was nasty. It was a top-shelf tuck against the Ducks. He just grabbed it and rifled it. Ding! Bar down last year. The San Jose Sharks power play was effective. And that's what ultimately won them this hockey game. Their power play was dominant. They just have so many ball players in any which direction. Net front, high-end player, flanks, you know, first-round pick. It just, so they were deep, they were loaded, and they were ready to go. And they had a good game plan. Not too long after Connor Smith uppercut galore on Carson Wesh, and a tilt that went viral. I mean, many online noticed the ruthless uppercuts there that Smith was delivering. You know, I talked about knuckle sandwiches. Those are extra lettuce, extra tomato, and spread on those knuckle sandwiches. We got ourselves a Matt Rempe type of player. I know Rempe is a forward, Smith D. I got that part. But as far as just towering, long reach, build, scary. And it's just, he gets the crowd going after. Like, he knows he just mauled. And he gets the crowd going and everyone's loving it. That's what just sells tickets. And we need that here in Orange Country. That's what gets people in the seats. That's prime time. I can't wait to see that on a nightly basis. coming soon here at Honda Center. Can't wait. That's show-stopping stuff as well. I mean, how many people just come to the game just to see just the biggest tilt of their lives? A lot of people. And he can do the job. And he's solid. Like his 5-10-foot plays, his passing, his first pass out of the zone, calm, crisp. He's got a long stick. His stick on puck ability was great. And look, he played solid. It's not just the fights. Like, he was an effective player. Early in the third, great stretch pass from Solberg. And that's just what he does. He starts plays off. He gets his head up. He can really do it all. He can hit. A nice comparable, I think, is Moritz Seider there in Detroit. And tall, strong, can throw the bod. And that's bare minimum. That's bare minimum right there. Because he wants to hop in the play. And he wants to just be a difference maker. So he stretches Seneca, puts Beckett on a B-way. It was such a great fake. World-class fake. Had the tinny frozen. Goes to the backhand, and all he's got to do is lift it. Like, post-game, he's looking at the film. He's like, okay, all I got to do is lift it. Easy peasy. Move on. Okay, but great stretch pass. Great B-way attempt. And, oh, just stung. He just wanted to lift. Nice save. But we know Beckett's going to lift that thing next opportunity. Great move, though. NHL caliber move written all over it. Insult to injury. San Jose comes right back. And that's the worst. It's like you get a chance, don't close, and then they follow it up with a quick dagger. And it was a tough turnover. Cam Lund was the goal scorer. He already scored earlier in the game. He picks the low right corner. A great rip, making it 4-2. Colin Graf with the fifth goal on the PP. Once again, their PP, Ducks PP look great. San Jose's PP, it's just maybe even a better execution. And I say that. The Anaheim Ducks took too many penalties, and the penalties cost them. And look, it's one of those things where high caliber power plays, they'll make you pay. And certainly, you know, San Jose did here in this game. Colin Graf with the fifth goal for the Sharks. Yeah, it was a tough one. It was a tough one. Great plays on the flank from Cedarov. And it was a little curl and snipe to make it 5-3 on the peeper. So once again, the Ducks PP, guys on the flank, Cedarov and Seneca, along with Solberg, making things happen for Unit 1. Great net front presence on those players that had that duty. Power play looked amazing. And it was yet another example. So that makes it 5-3. San Jose gets the empty net, 6-3. Three PP goals for San Jose. And the frustrating part, I guess, is Anaheim was the better team in many ways. And it came down to power play attempts, and the Sharks won that battle.
If you love today's content, then I'd love for you to take a trip over to VGHC.com or stop by their Costa Mesa flagship store to see what the club is cooking up for hockey fans worldwide.
But, you know, look, the Ducks PP came ready to play. It was so close. Close for a lot of the games. Discipline was the difference maker in this game. They're a little bit more disciplined. I think it would have been a different outcome. That was Friday's game. And so the second game, Sunday, at a jam-packed Great Park Ice facility. That's absolutely beautiful. We know that. The bad guys, Los Angeles Kings. And you know what? People are going to say, hey, Emmer, take it easy on these guys. They're young, rookie face. No, No sympathy whatsoever. You don a Kings jersey. No sympathy for me whatsoever. And look, they were an older squad. They, just on paper, they were just a little bit more seasoned. You know, just more players with years under their belt. And look, the Ducks outshot at a lot at times early on, but it came down to forechecking in this one. The Los Angeles Kings were the better forechecking team for the full 60-minute hockey game. And that's what it, and it just, it came down to the seasoning, the older players, the experience. And the Ducks, once again, looked great. And at a lot of times, Butaietz, it was a tough own goal. Tim Washey with a beauty of a deflection there late. A great net front presence, and it just boom, tips, goes upper corner. It was great. Connor Smith, more knuckle sandwiches, and. Did you see that? The guys post-game, this also went viral. The guys post-game, the two guys that got in a tilt, took a picture after the game. I mean, that's hockey, guys, for you. And that's why we love this game so much. Kings 4, Ducks 1, even though, honestly, it's not how the game looked. It's just not how the game, let's be honest. It was closer than what the score at the end of the game showed. Just breakdowns cost the Ducks. Takeaways from the tournament, Ducks PP, much better. Already, you can already see it. And rookie face out there, that's the systems in place this upcoming season. So just think of Frankie V on the flank, gearing up for the 1T. Think of Troy Terry getting his skates into the neutral zone, collecting that puck just inside the blue with 10 feet of gap because the flanks are going to be firing on all cylinders. The rookie faceoff, the set breakouts look better. The offensive zone structure look better. Quick passes, Solberg doing what he does. Bright spots, player-wise, I talked about Cedarov. Not going to rant about him any longer because already did earlier, and he showed unbelievable everything, skill, relentlessness. He's got that motor. And how about Jackson Weeb? Now, he knows his own game. He finishes his hits. He plays with speed. He plays with grit. He plays with determination. Can he turn into a Ryan Lomberg, Nick Cousins type of player? Because he's not afraid to drop the mitts. And so when you have a guy that's that zero in to his own game, now a couple tough penalties there. We talked about so he got a couple tough calls. And but it's just that's what happens sometimes when you play so hard. Tim Washey, the goal, top shelf tip, great net front presence. Just talked about it in game two there. He looks solid in many respects. Solberg continues to dance at the blue line. He continues to shimmy, continues to have great stretch passes, and just overall very positive play. So it's really scary when you think about it, and good for the good guys, because you think of just the pipeline in the future. Tristan Luno. Okay, now you got Solberg coming in here and playing a very similar style of game. A little bit more physicality. But just to have those two in particular, wow. Wow. Steph, let's play the Seneca sound, and then I'll elaborate on his game here in this rookie faceoff tournament. Sure.
Hi Beckett, tough one in terms of just finding offensive chances. How are you feeling about
Yeah, we kind of carried the play 5-on-5. We had a couple kind of unlucky turnovers that resulted in goals for them, and we definitely carried the play 5-on-5.
You came out first shift kind of out of the cannon, right? What was your sort of mindset coming into tonight, and how did you feel about your game specifically?
I think I just came in trying to move my feet and create, generate offense and do my job, and it's
crazy. How have you felt about your experience here in the last couple of days, kind of getting back up to speed and getting ready for what's going to be an opportunity for you in the next 9 months?
Yeah, it's been fun. I mean, we've been going pretty hard here the last couple of days, trying to cram everything, like all the systems and everything, into 1 or 2 or 3 days. So it'll be nice to get a day off here and then kind of go in and focus on maintaining.
Thoughts on the tournaments in general for the whole team?
I think it's a great learning experience for all of us. I mean, we kind of got a head start on all the systems that Coach Q is going to bring in, and I think that's a huge advantage for all of us in here.
What were you most impressed by? But like, what did you feel like you grew the most during this? And it's a short window, but was there anything that you took away from this whole experience?
I think it's just getting kind of that summer rust off and getting back into the kind of game form and game, you remember the game habits and all the game tendencies that you have to, and again, that's another huge advantage for us, kind of all of us going in the main camp.
Was it good to see a full crowd tonight here at GPI?
Yeah, for sure. It's fun to play in front of fans, and their energy energizes us, so it was fun.
What are some of your goals as a player this upcoming season?
I think I just want to, I mean, wherever I am, I just want to come in and learn. I mean, that's all you can do as a kind of a young hockey player, and just kind of soak in as much kind of information wherever I am.
Love that sound overall. A lot of good questions there, including that last one from your boy. Look, love the answer there. He just wants to learn, and that's great. Any young player on any team, that's what it's all about, learning. As he mentioned, learning the systems, no matter where he's going to play. And if he makes moves like on that breakaway, and of course, that's going to be a finish. That backhand's going to be in. That's what you get. A couple assists in the rookie faceoff tourney. And if you're asking me what addition, subtractions he needs to make in preparation for these upcoming preseason games, he has been stellar finding those dead spots in the neutral zone and being available, and his routes are really good because he utilizes that speed behind the puck, which is awesome. So he wants the puck. He wants the puck on the rush. That's where we see all his highlight reel goals. And he's high risk, high reward on entry. He's that guy that's going to make that high risk play. He likes a little one-on-one shimmy there just inside the ozone blue, and then he loves that quick shot blast. He tried it a couple times. If he can toss in the delay, a little Patty Kane style, or for our sake, Leo Carlson, who has that great mixture of wide speed and pulling up, I think he's going to get even better. But that's what he is. He's a high-risk, high-reward guy. That was great to see on a particular ozone entry there in the Kings game. Another bright spot of this game, he's got to take it right into preseason, is his 50-50 battle wins in these games. Like, along the walls, in the corners, in the offensive zone, he did not lose a 50-50 puck battle. And it was great, just methodically lifting sticks and scooping the puck out. He's got to take that in. He's got to continue stellar power play. And the 1T ability. I mean, he was rifling them, and that shot's only going to get better. And he's got to get more comfortable in that spot heading into these preseason games here. Last but not least, pre-draft, before he's taken third overall by the good guys, one thing, just going over tape, a bright spot for me was his forechecking ability. Now, not to say that, you know, I didn't see that in this rookie faceoff tournament, but if he can up the ante in the forechecking department, just getting on the inside as forward one on that forecheck, lifting sticks, get speed, kind of just try to be first to a lot of those loose pucks there. Forechecking game. If he can up the ante there, I think it's going to be lights out. He's going to have one heck of a preseason. But a lot of good bright spots in a great interview there. Let's get into Pacific Division preview. Starting with the San Jose Sharks. Look, I think they're going to remain in last place in the Pacific. They got offseason acquisitions. Alex Gaudette, Jeff Skinner. Gaudette, you know, with supporting pieces around him in Ottawa, it just made him easier for him to get to the net front and cash in on those greasy rebounds. Tucking right around that 20 goal mark. He's going to have less around him there in San Jose. And I thought Jake Walman was a huge loss there when he got traded to Edmonton. Can Dmitry Orlov, can he fill the void? Will Sam Dickinson potentially crack opening night lineup, maybe get a couple of games and then go from there? Can those guys fill that void? All in all, Mike Greer's got to get credit because he's moved contracts and he's really opened up the door for just this new generation of talent there in San Jose. Kudos to him. Great draft picks. I just think not yet as far as their big jump. Not yet. It just, even here in Anaheim, it shows how long some of these processes take. And so I just think it's going to be another year or two before they really start to hum. Seattle Kraken, I think they're going to stay in that same spot at 7. I look at Seattle as a team mostly full of, you know, pretty good players. Canner, if Canner and I'm speaking Jared McCann and Eberle and Montour, if those guys had a little bit better supporting cast, they would be surefire game in and game out stars in the league if they had a better supported cast. So there's pieces for sure, but it's just, you know, I just don't see the big jump from them. You know, good on them. Capo Caco coming in and producing, and he's going to take another step with knowing that he's in that spot. They gave the Ducks tough games there. When we played, anytime we played, it was a tough battle. So expect close games, but do they have that star power to put their team over the top in some of those late games? I'm not sure. Lane Lambert as head coach. Dan Bylsma, in my opinion, that's an upgrade. Lane Lambert, he got a raw deal, in my opinion, on the island there. I think he got a raw deal. Look at it. Look at his coaching record here on the island. So he plays 82 games. Of course, his first 2 years, 42 wins, 31 losses in both those seasons. 0.567 win percentage. Darn good years. Darn good years. First time head coach. 19-15. That reminds me of the Todd McClellan situation in Kings, where it's like, what? You're going to fire him? I know they were going trending in the wrong direction, but still over 500. Still making things happen. So I just think, you know, as far as Lambert, I just think he got a raw deal. He's done better with virtuously same roster as Patrick Waugh has got currently and what he's been able to do with that roster. So Lane Lambert's head coaching record is solid, and I think it's definitely an upgrade. They'll be better than their 76 points last season, but I'm thinking in the 80-85 point range and still ranking second to last. On the good guys, our very own Ducks, subtractions, John Gibson, Trevor Zegras, those two can't be taken lightly right there. Isaac Lundstrom, Brock McGinn, Robbie Fabry, Oliver Shillington, and Brett Leeson. Okay, subtractions there. Additions, Coach Q, Jay Woodcroft, Ryan McGill, Andrew Brewer for coaches, Crides Grands. Yes, we're already on a nickname basis. It's just how we do things here in Orange Country. Mrazek and Paling for the players. All in all, I love it. All in all, I love it. We've talked about it just over the course of, you know, the last few eat 'em ups and just talking over breakdowns of acquisitions and so on and so forth. Just what's transpired over the course of this offseason. And bare minimum, the good guys snag a wild card spot this upcoming season. How about the Canucks? Okay, I'll keep it short here. Adam Foote, definitely not just all in all, Rick Tocchet, who of course has departed. Just straight up, just from the inexperience as that head coach in role with Adam Foote, you know, damn good player Adam Foote was, and played a lot of games, a lot of years, Stanley Cups, Colorado Avalanche, we all know. So I just, Rick Tocchet, he can coach. And anytime you watch the Canucks play, it's like, oh, you know, they got their X's and O's down. And I love the switches. Those north-south switches there on both sides in the offensive zone always catches the opposition. And it just seemed like he elevated that Vancouver Canucks team just on paper. He brought them to a whole nother level. Like on paper, they're not spectacular. JT Miller, I mean, that helped, but that right there is going to haunt him. The JT Miller departure will continue to haunt him. Evander Kane, why not? You know, 100% you take him. And, you know, that's going to help, but just JT Miller's departure will continue to haunt them. And the lack of upgrade when it comes to Adam Foote in replacement of Rick Tocchet, just don't see it. They're going to slide a little bit down. Calgary Flames, well, let's hear about them. Steph, tee up Flames radio color analyst, Megan Mickelson, where she has some insight on this season's Flame squad.
Well, whether or not the Flames will fare better this season remains to be determined, but what is certain is the progress and development of the young players in the organization. It was a relatively quiet offseason for the Flames in many aspects, but with contract extensions for players like Kevin Ball, Dustin Wolf, Matt Coronato, Connor Zeri, and Martin Pospisil, what is certain is the confidence the organization has that they found some really promising pieces in what they're calling a retool. And then carrying over from last year and leading a very positive culture shift within the organization is players like Michael Backlund, Mackenzie Weegar, Nazem Kadri, Rasmus Anderson, to name a few. So a combination of youth and veteran presence provides some balance to their lineup. But if the team really wants to take a step forward, they're going to need to generate more offense, that's for sure, and get off to a good start in what seems to be a bit of a gauntlet to kick off the regular season.
Well, thanks, Megan. Some great words there. And yeah, look, goaltending. We know the goaltending situation. I dogged them heading into last season. I didn't give them the respect they deserve. They proved me wrong. So I'm not going to dog them this season. I'll talk about more where they will finish up here momentarily. Edmonton Oilers, we know they're top tier. We just know. New goalie coach for Stuart Skinner. The media is saying that he's dropped a few pounds and he's in incredible shape. So between the new goaltending coach dropping some pounds, dropping some LBs, we know they got McDavid. We know they got Leon Draisaitl. We know that they got, of course, Bush on the back end. They'll be all right. Talk about where they'll slide in here in a few moments. Los Angeles Kings. The bad guys. But you know, the one thing I'll say about the Kings, boy, do they hire good people. They have great people working for them. And you know who one of the great ones are? It's the Ledge. Darrell Evans. He needs no introduction. So, Steph, lay that one up.
I think the Kings are poised to take the next step this season. With the addition that they made in goal with Anton Forsberg, I think he gives them a little bit more depth in that position. Back on the blue line, Dumoulin, who's won a couple of Stanley Cups with Pittsburgh, Cody Ceci, a lot of size, Armia up front, and then Corey Perry as well. You look at the experience that these guys have had, the amount of time that they've played in the playoffs, and I think that should bring an element that was maybe missing from the Kings lineup the last few years. It also, with the addition of the players just named, especially up front with Armia and Perry, it gives the Kings depth, and I think it'll encourage the coaching staff to have confidence to be able to play four lines, and I think four-line depth will pay dividends for the Kings when it comes postseason play. Also, with players in place already, guys like Byfield, Laferriere, Clark, Turcotte, those guys are going to have to take that next step, take a little bit more ownership this year. And with all that, I think the Kings are poised to take the next step and have some playoffs and some postseason success.
Makes some great points there. He makes some great points, and boy, does he sound good. And he's the, in my humble opinion, the only man up there in the press box at Crypto or Honda Center, dressed better than I, is going to be Darrell Evans. I'll hand it to him. He's got the suits. I try. I do well. But he's been in the game for so long. He's just been in the game for so long. Darrell, thank you for your insight there. Couldn't agree more. Vegas. So, Vegas is scary. They got Hurdle. He does so much damage in and around behind the net in that general area. He's so good along the boards there. His office is behind the net. He gets to the blue paint. It's just a lot of around the net greasers. And he has playoffs written all over him. We know Wild Bill. The list goes on and on. Petrangelo. Injury, this, that, right? So do they come into this season healthy? Remains to be seen. We know the issues with Stone and his injury, but they always manage to not use excuses, or they just play. Whoever's in the lineup, they go. And look, the goaltending, it's lights out. And they just put wins together. It's pretty much the basic points for Vegas. Let's get right into it. So this is my prediction for this upcoming season's finish in the Pacific Division. I got Oil lead in the Pacific at spot number one. Vegas at spot number two. Ducks going third or wild card. I don't know where the, you know, don't know points, wild card, who's going to, you know, and where the third, four, where that. I'm saying either the Ducks going third in the Pacific or wild card regardless. Come on, getting in the playoffs this year. Kings fourth. Flames fifth. Canucks sixth. Kraken seven. Sharks eight. There you have it. You heard it here first on Eat 'Em Up. All right. This Epi's Beer League tip. For all my beer leaguers out there, please, please stop playing hot potato out there. Before you get the puck, look over your shoulder, scan the ice, little sight lines, one look over each shoulder. So when you get it, you have a game plan and you're not just touching it, no purpose, and launching pizzas up the middle. Look over your shoulder before you get the puck. You have a game plan so you can come out of that puck touch with a higher percentage play. Thanks for crushing another epi of Eat 'Em Up. We'll catch you next time.
This is an Anaheim Ducks original production on Duckstream.